the pregnancy of Diti and her husband Kashyap. In this chapter, Maitreya Muni is describing to Vidura about a second Varaha incarnation who is red in color, and he appeared during the Chakshusha Manvantara devastation. Maitreya related to Vidura the same katha he had previously heard from Brahma. At sunset one day, the son of Marichi named Kashyapa Muni was offering oblations to Lord Vishnu. Greatly afflicted by sex desire, his wife Diti approached him. She frankly begged her husband, "O most learned one, O Panditji, Cupid is forcibly distressing me with his arrows, just as an elephant troubles a banana tree. I want to have sons like my co-wives, so please be merciful to me. My father, Daksha, asked each of his daughters, 13 in number, to marry you. And since that time, we have been your faithful wives. O Padmalochan, when someone in distress approaches a great soul, his requests never go in vain. Kashyap Muni could have refused his wife, but he was somewhat controlled by his wife and also sexually inclined. He tried to pacify Diti, who had become very weak-hearted and talkative due to the infection of lust. Kashyap said, "Oh, afflicted one, soon I will fulfill your desire. A good wife helps her husband cross the ocean of samsara. She's very helpful and considered the better half of a man's body. As a military commander, easily conquers invaders while staying protected within his fort. A man can conquer his senses by taking shelter of a good wife. Because of this, a man can never repay his wife for all the help she gives him." "My dear Diti, although I cannot repay you, I will satisfy your desire to have children. But please wait for a few minutes. This is a very inauspicious time to copulate at sunset. Nandishvar and his boots and prates are moving about at this time. And these prates and buttas, they are awarded a physical body by entering the wombs of women who indulge in sexual intercourse during the wrong times, such as sunset. Lord Shiva is the husband of your sister, and with his three eyes he will see your forbidden act." Diti was so oppressed by sex desire that despite the good counsel of her husband, she grabbed Kashyapa's clothes like a shameless prostitute and practically forced him to satisfy her lusty desire. Kasyap went to a secluded place with his wife, and after finishing the forbidden act at that sunset inauspicious time, Kasyap took a bath to purify himself and chanted his anik while meditating on Brahman. After this, Diti felt somewhat shameful and she approached her husband and begged, "My dear Brahman, please promise me that Shiva does not kill my embryo because of the great offense I have committed against him." Diti prayed to Shiva directly, "I offer my obeisances to Lord Rudra, who can immediately destroy my embryo, but he is also merciful and forgiving. Lord Shiva is the lord of all women, who are excused even by uncivilized hunters. Oh, Shiva, please spare me." Diti was trembling because she saw that her husband Kasyap was in an extremely angry mood. And he said to his wife, "Diti, because of your polluted mind, your disobedience, and neglect of the demigods by having sex at the wrong inauspicious time, you will give birth to two horrible sons who will disturb the whole world by killing innocent persons, torturing women, and enraging the great Munis. Then the Supreme Lord will incarnate and kill your two sons, like Indra smashing mountains with his thunderbolts." Diti replied, "Oh Pati, I am relieved to know that the merciful Lord will kill my sons rather than the wrathful Brahmins. One who offends Brahmins or causes fear to others is condemned. So condemned that the residents of hell or even animals in which he will later appear, they feel no compassion for him," Kasyapa said. "Because of your faith in God and your repentance and your worship of Shiva and myself, one of your grandsons will be a greatly exalted devotee." Of course, this is alluding to the future birth of Prahlad Maharaj as a son of one of these demons, Hiranyakashipu. "That grandson's fame will rival that of the Lord himself because of his tivra bhakti for Krishna. He will become a Mahajan, a great teacher of devotion. Many people will follow in his footsteps. Because he pleases the Lord, everyone will be happy with him. Your grandson will be a first-class devotee and able to have sakshat darshan, see the Lord within and without. He'll be a reservoir of good qualities and feel suffering to see the suffering of the conditioned souls." Diti became very pleased to hear the glories of Prahlad. But because she understood that her sons would cause havoc to the universe, she carried on her pregnancy for 100 years without giving birth. Nevertheless, the force of Diti's pregnancy disrupted the entire cosmos, even reduced the brilliance of the light of the sun and the moon. The demigods became afraid of the situation and approached Brahma. "O Brahma, our Lord, Darkness is expanding in all directions. O maintainer of the universe, you know the desire of all living entities. Diti's pregnancy has caused a great disturbance, and our activities are now suspended. Please help us out of this misery. Brahma informed the demigods of some ancient histories. The four Kumaras, Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumara, had previously entered Vaikuntha because they were free from material dirt. In Vaikuntha, the residents look like Narayan, and they're all engaged in pure devotional service. There are kalpa vriksha trees, which are always filled with fruits and flowers. The Vaikunthavasis fly around in airplanes with their wives and always sing about the leelas of Vishnu. Their wives are beautiful, with smiling faces and large hips. Yet, their husbands do not become stimulated to passion, because Vaikuntha is free from sexual relationships and everyone's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Although men and women are enjoying together, but in the context of pure devotional service, there is no selfishness or exploitation one to the other. It is a land of calculated devotion or dedication. Sometimes the bumblebees sing and very beautifully the glories of Lord Vishnu, and the other birds like peacocks and parrots, cuckoos, swans, cranes, and chakravakas, they stop their chirping to listen to the bees. Champak, Bakul, Parijat, Lotus are very fragrant and beautiful, but they understand how much Tulsi is favored by Lord Vishnu, and that he prefers to garland himself with leaves and mandris from Tulsi Devi, Pushpasar Tulasi. She's the essence of all flowers and garlands. The ladies of Vaikuntha rival Lakshmi in beauty, and they engage in cleaning the marble walls. Although they are dust-free, they do this just to receive a glance of mercy from their Lord. The Kumaras came to the outskirts of Vaikuntha, and they felt very happy. They passed through the six outer gates, and they got to the seventh gate that was protected by two large doormen holding powerful maces. They looked like Lord Vishnu with four arms and bluish complexion, arched eyebrows. But they appeared somewhat agitated and angry, with flared nostrils and red eyes. The four Kumaras had already passed through six gates and doors without any thinking of ours and theirs, so they innocently passed through the seventh gate as if it was their own home. They were naked, Digambara sages, Digambara rishis. They look like five-year-old children, Kumaras, but they're actually the oldest created beings besides Lord Brahma. Somehow, the two gatekeepers at the seventh gate of Vaikuntha, they put down their clubs to block the passage of the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras were regularly coming and going to Vaikuntha, and they never stopped from entering, because Vishnu was always eager to serve the great sages, and they were eager to see the Lord. But when they were checked by the chokidars, they became agitated. Also, red eyes, the Kumaras said, "Who are these fellows engaged in Vishnu's service? They have such a bogus mentality. I think they must be imposters." So they think that others are also imposters like themselves. There is always perfect harmony here between God and the residents. Although these two chokidars are dressed like Vaikunthavasis, why are they acting so unharmoniously? They're seeing duality and become contaminated. I think they should go to the dualistic world, material cosmos, which is filled with friends and enemies. Realizing they were being cursed by the Kumaras, the Chokidars became very afraid. They fell down at the Kumaras' feet and begged, "You are correct for punishing us for our neglect, but still we're repenting. Be merciful and bless us. We will never forget the Lord, even if we fall." Understanding what was happening, Vishnu came there along with Lakshmi. Although they had previously only seen Lord Vishnu in their hearts during meditation, now they were seeing him directly. The Lord looked so beautiful with his dark blue body, lightning brilliant yellow cloth, humming bees surrounding the mala around his neck. He was more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. The Kumaras were staring at the Lord with unsatiated eyes. Bowing their heads joyfully, the Kumaras smelled that wonderful aroma of the Tulsi Manjaris from the feet of the Lord. And when they smelled that beautiful aroma, it created a transformation in their bodies and minds and acted as an udipan to ecstasy. Although they were previously Brahmavadis and Gyanis, they became converted into bhaktas and wanted nothing but to serve the Lord. They were no longer interested in Brahma Sayujya or Kaivalya Mukti. Just by that Sakshat Darshan of Lord Vishnu, they came to the stage of Samadhi on the personal form of the Lord. They cooled down and prayed to the Lord, "Oh, our dear Lord Vishnu, Brahma told us about you. Now we're seeing you and everything's confirmed. Now we understand that the most advanced spiritualists are those that are always hearing your leelas and have no care for liberation. My Lord, we may go to hell and live there as long as we can always serve you." The Lord's presence taught the Kumaras that they made a mistake to curse the doorkeepers, although they had offended them. Lord Vishnu said, "These doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay, have indeed committed a serious offense against you by ignoring my desire I approve of your punishment to them. I am responsible for the actions of my servants. Therefore, I feel that it is me who has offended you. So I seek your forgiveness on my part. For me, Brahmanas are to be worshipped by everyone. I will cut off my arm if it is not acting properly toward you. I am my devotee's servant. Indeed, my lotus feet are so sacred they can purify one of all sins. I do not enjoy the offerings of yajna as much as I relish the ghee, the delicacies cooked in ghee and offered to the brahmanas who are dedicated to me. The Ganga, my charanamrita, sanctifies the three worlds. The dust of the Vaishnavas is desirable for me to keep on my head. These chokidars of mine have offended you because they did not understand my mind. I will consider it a great favor if you allow them to return to their post very soon. Kalmaras were impressed by the humble and beautiful talk of the Lord. They didn't really understand Vishnu's intention, but because they were so overwhelmed with delight at the darshan of the Lord, they understood they made a mistake in cursing the Lord's pure devotees. And they said, "O Lord, we don't understand your plans. You're speaking as if we have done you a favor. Your adoring the brahmanas is meant to teach others. But actually, you are the supreme worshipful deity. Whatever punishment you want to award to these two innocent servants of yours, or to us, we shall gladly accept." Vishnu said, "O Brahmanas, the four Kumaras, I have already approved of the punishment you've given to Jai and Vijay, so they will have to take birth as demons. But they will concentrate their minds upon me in anger and thus remain united with me. And soon they will come back to Vaikuntha." In reality, it was Lord Vishnu himself who arranged the cursing of Jai and Vijay. Without the action of the Lord's Yogamaya potency, the Kumaras could never become angry enough to curse them, or that the Lord would allow his servants to return to the material world after attaining Vaikuntha. But sometimes Vishnu wants to fight. But who to fight with in Vaikuntha? There is harmony everywhere. It is not Kali Yuga. It is eternally satya and blissful and truthful and harmonious. So we must come to the material world. This is a place of fighting. So he comes to this world to fight. And he fights with his friends, his associates. He makes the devotee, his own devotee, play the part like a drama or a movie, play the part of his enemy. Then after relishing a good fight, the Lord and his devotees returned to Vaikuntha. The four Kumaras circumambulated the Lord, offered their obeisances, and departed from the gates of Vaikuntha. Vishnu told Jaya and Vijaya, "Don't be afraid. I've nullified the Brahmana's curse. I could have, but I didn't." Once you also stopped my consort Lakshmi at the gate while I was sleeping. At that time, she predicted that you would fall from your position. Although you should take birth 7 times in the material world as punishment, you will only have to take 3 births as demons instead. By practicing mystic yoga and anger, you'll become cleansed of your sins and quickly return to Vaikuntha. Jaya and Vijaya became morose and pale because of the Kumara's curse, and they fell down from Vaikuntha. The demigods, observing the whole affair from their flower airplanes, were extremely disappointed. Jaya and Vijaya entered Diti's womb. This was the agency of Kashyapa's semen. "Lord Brahma concluded by informing the demigods," said Maitreya, "the power of these 2 demons has disturbed you demigods because they reduced your power. I cannot improve the situation because this is the will of the Lord. Soon Lord Vishnu will save you and remove the dense darkness of the universe." The demigods became relieved of their fear and went to their abodes. Soon, after 100 years, Diti gave birth to 2 sons who were great demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu.